Welcome to the Sean Morgan Report. I am here with someone that our audience has missed very much and has emailed me about all the time, and that is Jim Cutler, you know, right there in the boatyard. And of course, we have our trusty sidekick, Paul Ferber, as well. Jim, do you have anything to say to those people who have been missing you?
Well, the boating life is a bit of a crazy one. And I was in the process of doing a full East Coast passage to test out the equipment on the vessel and some other things and visit people. And, you know, all the things went really well, but the boat took a bit of a beating. It was just, you know, a lot of weather and a lot of banging around out there. So I wanted to really focus on getting the boat down to this boatyard and do the refit that is needed now. And so that's where I was. I really felt, you know, at this moment, I needed to focus on what I was doing with the vessel and pay attention to her. And then, let people think about things for a little bit without, you know, any input from me. And you've been doing a fantastic job, both you and Paul. And so I was very comfortable letting you guys just do your thing. And I'll chime in when I'm ready. And so now I'm here. And of course, the boat's all taken apart, but ready to get to jump back on this particular horse.
Well, something I've admired about you, Jim, something that I don't have the patience for, is that you try to interact with normies and introduce these taboo topics to them and try to help awaken them. And so while you've been kind of taking this break, you've been focusing on that subject of mass formation, about how and why people cling onto the COVID narrative and the vaccine solution because of a very specific type of mind control that totalitarians use that involves mass formation, this mass hypnosis. So we're going to discuss that. But first, I just want to check in with Paul Ferber, because he's in South Africa. He's our South African correspondent. And it seems like South Africa is always ground zero for deep state operations. And we've got the Omicron variant released from that dangerous area of South Africa. So any updates from South Africa, Paul?
Yeah, Omicron. So it was released. It was released in this country in November, and it spread very, very quickly. Now, my wife is a nurse, and she has a clinic of factory workers. So she saw, within days, she saw the infection rates zooming back up, even higher than the first three waves of infections that we had here from the original release and then from the other one and then Delta. Omicron just spread like wildfire. But the unusual thing about it is no deaths. In fact, no hospitalizations either. It's a mild form of the coronavirus, and it seems to give you antibodies and a mild fever, if anything, and then you're fine. So, yeah, I have other sources telling me that this is going to be the cure for the corona pandemic, which is really good news. A little bit early to tell, but certainly, you know, that by browsing all the sources that are available to me, I've seen hundreds of thousands of infections in terms of the numbers, and still zero deaths and zero hospitalizations. So, hey, I think good news from South Africa for once. We still have our own local troubles, but, you know, I think we may have given, somewhere in South Africa may have given the cure to Corona Chan to the world. So I think we should be grateful for that.
Yeah. You know, this is just too weird that the next variant that the deep state is pushing as some kind of dangerous vaccine resistant thing that we all need to be afraid of is actually, you know, very mild and doesn't hurt anyone and actually like kills off the more deadly Delta variant. I mean, you really couldn't ask for a better situation. So it really makes you wonder if white hats or if the big guy upstairs had something to do with it.
Well, it's unquestioned. The virus is unquestionably man-made, Omicron. If you look carefully at the genome, it's like somebody picked out a variant from April last year and then managed to come up with 20 unique mutations, plus added another spike, a flu spike this time, and then rolled it all together and released it. So Yeah, very interesting. I mean, and it's ultra infectious. So
yeah,
it was round the world before people even realized it was a new variant. It was in over 70 countries. It was in Hong Kong, the UK, the Netherlands, the States. It just bang. One flight from this country did it, I think. And
unbelievable that the Q said the cure was spread worldwide, you know? And so it does make you wonder if the Weihats are involved. And also weird that they named this Omicron, but they skipped over XI, right?
Yeah, well, yes. I think that was to spare Xi some embarrassment because all variants are the Xi variant, aren't they? Technically.
But you could take credit. I mean, if this is a good variant.
yeah.
So thank you for the update, Paul. Jim, can you give us a quick little rundown of mass formation and the different categories of people, the different percentages of people who are hypnotized?
Sure. And this is really something that is important for people to understand if they're going to make sense of the kind of rhetoric that they're hearing, both from the white hats as well as the dark hats. And there's a group of behavioral psychologists and statisticians in Northern Europe who have been working on this particular phenomenon. And you can call it mass hysteria or mass hypnosis. It all means kind of the same thing. The mass formation is just more of a clinical term for this concept. And the concept is fairly straightforward. You as a person have certain susceptibilities to being manipulated by a person, like in terms of gaslighting. If somebody gaslights you, they're manipulating your mind by using a certain technique. And we're all susceptible to that. Some people are more susceptible to straight hypnosis. Like you go to a hypnotist and you go under right away. Okay. You're quite susceptible to that technique. Some people, and myself included, cannot be hypnotized. And I've gone to past life regression people and all manner of folk who are very professional in hypnosis, and they cannot put me under. And they're quite surprised, but they, you know, say, yes, some people cannot be put under, and you just happen to be one of them. And then everybody else falls somewhere in between. Now, in the last, 50 to 75 years, technology has come out allowing people to manipulate brainwave activity. And these brainwaves are used, like if you get an EEG at the hospital, they can read those waves and determine things about the health of your brain, like if you had a concussion or so on and so forth. So the study of this is quite thorough and quite old. Not old, but you know, in terms of technology, it's pretty old. And when people have nefarious intentions, they co-opt this technology to get people to do things like buy cars. You know, car sales and big store sales like Macy's and Filings and all that. They've been utilizing this from almost their inception because it works and it gets people to buy things they wouldn't ordinarily buy. Now we're moving forward into a situation where now there's a war, a real war now between two very strong factions. One is what we call the deep state and the other are what we call the white hats. So Trump and a group of generals are the white hats. And then, you know, the CIA, mass media, et cetera, are the deep state. We now are seeing, and this is what these clinicians are doing, they're studying this and realizing that the population falls into these discrete categories of levels of hypnosis. So, and the category percentages are 30, 40, 30. When you look at the 30% category on one extreme, they're the most hypnotizable. They listen to CNN. They listen to MSNBC. The mainstream media and deep state politicians. Yep, I believe everything they say because, you know, I don't want to seem different. And I believe them. You know, I just believe them. Like, you know, Democrat is going to say, blue only, anything.
Yeah. And Jim, I'll just jump in really quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but you mentioned department stores and stuff. I think it's a really good example. And malls, for example, and even some cities that I've been to are like this, where they kind of trap you into a bubble. And so you kind of forget about the other reality. It becomes a temporary reality. When you're in a mall, they kind of confuse you where the exits, and you're just going around in these circles like, I guess I have to keep buying stuff because I can't get out.
Right.
And so when people are plugged into the matrix, to me, that means they're just consuming culture that's mass produced from every angle. For example, they're turning on the TV and they're watching the news from CNN, and then they're going on a Netflix, and then they're watching some kind of script that was purposefully written to tell the same exact narrative. And then they listen to a song that has a congruent narrative. And it's just, they're stuck in this false reality, this echo chamber. And so when you unplug your TV, it actually helps you get out of this whole fake reality.
Yeah. And when it comes to actual technology, the waves, the television signal itself has been turned into what's called a carrier wave. And you can look up patents on how to send other signals on this carrier wave. So you're watching television, you're seeing the image that they're sending to you, but you're also taking in a whole host of information that is subliminal, but is still coming in on that carrier wave. So this is very serious stuff. So you have no idea that your brain is being impacted like that, yet it is. And for people who just want to watch the TV and don't care about that, they're just going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into it.
Right.
Other people who are in the 40th percentile or even the other extreme, the 30th percentile, are like the 30th percentiles are just going to turn their TV off. As a matter of fact, they're going to pick it up and throw it out the window because they're just so – they know it's BS and they just can't having it on anymore. And they're just done. They just stop. But the 40th percentile, they're like – well, my family likes it, so I'm going to continue to do it. And, I like talking about football around the water cooler and blah, blah, blah. They don't want to be different. They don't want to be ostracized. So they're going to go along to get along. But they know it's BS. In the back of their mind, deep in their heart, they know this isn't right. They just don't know what to do, and they don't want to stand out. So
let's face it, most people are followers. So you've got the 30% that are like hardcore followers.
Yeah,
they will follow anything you put in front of them. And then you got the other 40% that are also followers, but they're not the hardcore followers. And then you got the 30%, other 30% that are like the people in this Zoom call who are, independent free thinkers and perhaps leaders, non-followers, non-conformists, dissidents, and so forth. But one of the techniques that's required, and this is totalitarian, governments and leaders are experts at this, and especially with this pandemic. I mean, I've never seen it at this scale in my whole life, or maybe even ever in human history, is you need to have isolation. People have to feel isolated and alone for this to even work. That's why, in communist countries like the USSR, they didn't even let you leave the Iron Curtain. Like you had to have a special pass and you had to come right back, and they watched you the whole time if you ever left the borders. They're doing the same thing in America. They're trying to stop international travel. They're trying to, impede international travel to the greatest extent that they can. Not to mention the fact they want you locked down in your house, don't leave. And what do you have to do when you're in your house? Be on your phone, computer, and TV, right? So,
and all the echo chambers that they've created for you,
right?
So it's you can see, and they want us all to relate to each other. They want us to all look at each other and go, yeah, this is serious, and we all got to do our part to keep it. All the while, we're doing exactly what they want us to do. And we have to remember, as hard as this is, for us on this call, we fall into a category. It's not like we're above all of this. No way. We are in a category. And that category contains all of these elements to some degree or another. So even we have to constantly be on our guard and question what we're doing to make sure that we're not just following a subliminal right. directive.
Jim, I'd like to give an really example. We are, and that I think what you were trying to say before we recorded, Jim, is that basically all of us are hypnotized in one way or another. You know, it's not like anyone's 100% immune from this. And I'll give you a good example: is that we don't have good information. The general public does not have good information about outer space. Okay, you know, no one. Like, we've got these fake videos, we've got these fake pictures. Like, literally, they say it in the corner of these NASA pictures that these are just artist renderings, they're not real. You know, there's some kind of composite image. You know, we've supposedly been to the moon, we supposedly have all these satellites in the air, and maybe we have, but the point is that the general public doesn't have some kind of high definition feed from the International Space Station to actually see what everything looks like. Right. We're kept in our echo chamber, our false reality of these fake videos and these fake photographs. And so even these three people in this Zoom call, and we pride ourselves in being so independent thinkers and nonconformists and everything, we are totally hypnotized by that false reality about outer space. Now, we might question everything, but we don't have enough information to even develop a true alternate model. So yes, everyone, due to the limitation of information that a person has, they develop these mental models that are very, very limited. And so it's almost like hypnosis.
Yeah. So it's, and then when it comes to listening to people, you know, and you've got to be, we have to be so discerning. Like when, and I'll use the example of Trump talking about warp speed on the vaccines. Now, a lot of patriots hear that and are instantly put off. They're like, wait, that's just, this ain't right. Now, the fact that they're saying this is not right, I don't want Trump getting up there and touting vaccines. This makes no sense for, you know, me as a patriot and someone who's fighting against the deep state. What they fail to understand is that Trump is not just talking to them. And these messages that are created and put out by Trump are for the other percentiles, especially the 40 percentiles. They need that number to start moving into the 30 percentile. And they have to use manipulative technique to do it because that is what they respond to. Yeah. And so it's reasonable for them to do that. But at the same time, there's lots of things that Trump is saying that people who are discerning can hear and pick up and look at and go, oh, wait, this is not just I love vaccines. This is, no, I got to talk about vaccines and getting them out, but always giving them options. Yes, vaccines are good. Yes, I got them out real quick. However, you don't have to take the vaccine. You can use hydroxychloroquine, or you can use ivermectin, or any of those things. Right. And in that regard, gets a much different kind of message out there than just simply, I love vaccines.
I think that's really important for people to understand is that these are two competing narratives. And it's actually, if we stop thinking of hypnosis as something that's just really, really bad and evil, and think of it more as a way of communicating with many, many people, you've got the deep state with the manipulative hypnosis, and then Trump with his, you know, gradual awakening hypnosis. And so Trump is a master at this. I mean, if you remember back in 2015, when he was campaigning and he was saying things like that China's been ripping us off for decades, and this is not on people's minds. This is not something they cared about. But he just kept on seeding that narrative and saying that there are so many criminals coming across the border. Now, this is something that border states are very sensitive to, but people like me from Pennsylvania, we're not thinking every day about criminals coming across the Mexican border. He's saying that we need a wall. So he's setting these narratives, you know, and then he's providing the solution to all of the problems that he keeps talking about. And Trump also seeded a new narrative that we didn't have in the United States before he campaigned, which is a narrative of patriotism is good, our history is good, and the American flag is good and should be honored, and the military and law enforcement is good and should be honored. That was not even a part of the Republican platform. That was not a part of anyone else's campaign. That was purposeful mass communication. It was a very important counter narrative to the deep state because they want to defund the police. They want to do mass immigration. You know, they want to take away our national identity and national sovereignty. So, you know, this whole Trump is with this whole pro-vaccine rhetoric. He is artfully, through the art of war, controlling the narrative. And you're only able to control the narrative if you can include some of those people you're trying to persuade. If you just come out with everything opposite of what they believe, then they just shut you out. But if you say, okay, yeah, vaccines are great. I'm all for vaccines, but not for kids. They have good immune systems. I'm all for vaccines. Everything's great, but you know, we got to keep our freedom. I'm all for vaccines, but there are other alternatives and other treatments. Do you see how much more convincing it is for someone who's pro-vaccine to be convinced by Trump when he starts out with agreeing with his opposition? You know, it's actually quite genius when you think of it that way. Paul, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I, funnily enough, this last 2 weeks have been revisiting Marshall McLuhan's work from the 60s. He was a Canadian sociologist and philosopher who came up with the famous phrase, the medium is the message. He also invented like the phrase, the global village. Incredibly prescient man. Just watching interviews with him and reading his books, he's, you know, the point is that a medium, you know, is not neutral. It a medium that roughs you, the medium itself and not the content, roughs you up, and it, you know, it knocks you around. It's not a neutral thing. The content is there. He made the, this is the 60s, so he's saying the content of a new medium is always the old medium. So in those days, TV, the content of TV was movies, just as the content of movies was books and so on. And the content of books was stories told around the campfire. He fell out of favor in like the 70s and 80s, but in the 90s, when the internet started becoming front of mind for everyone, people realized actually just what a bright man he was and how correct he was about the influence of media. And it's clear Trump knows the persuasive power of media. He was a masterful communicator on the campaign trail, as you said. And he understood that getting a simple slogan like Make America Great Again was going to get him elected. You know, I watched that video again today. We will no longer surrender to the false song of globalism. That was an incredible speech, and that got him elected, I think. As far as the masses hypnosis goes, we are controlled and segregated to a frightening degree by the media, you know, by demographic, by age, by, you know, by belief. It's easy to spot the hypnosis as it appears in all the media. So, you know, you'll get a story about transgenders in the bathroom, for instance, and then you'll get a TV show about discussing whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. Then you'll see a flood of things in the newspaper, and then you'll see, you know, every little bit of the media, then it'll be a theme in an upcoming movie. All of that is designed to push, you know, the elite's agenda, of which, you know, the transgender agenda is one of them because it's part of their religion. And you can see all this just by sitting and doing nothing. You don't even have to actively consume mainstream media. You can just pick it up in the coverage, in the headlines, in the, you know, the kind of the mood of the media, as it were. And yeah, I remember that Q post, I think his first ever post with the trip code on the 10th of November. He said, attention on deck. So, hey, senior officer president, watch out. I'm going to tell you something important. There is an ongoing war for your mind. And this goes back to what Jim said at the very beginning, was that this battle takes place in our minds. You know, you've got two opposing forces. And I think it's very important that we we're aware of the battle and that we can identify moves by both sides. Because, yeah, that, I mean, Q was the greatest psyop in history for good. The media's pushing of immigration and the trans agenda is probably the worst example of mass hypnosis. But, it touches everything, and it's something, as soon as you're aware of it, you're already more informed. You're already aware that you're being manipulated. I mean, just the example, let me finish off quickly with this. When you go to a horror movie, you want to be scared. When you go, when the ladies go to a rom-com, they want to weep at the happy ending. When, you know, when you go to an action movie, you want to feel the way you do. We all like to be entertained by our emotions being manipulated in one way or another. What we don't realize is that the news does almost exactly the same thing. I mean, I've been watching the Western media blame Russia for what NATO is doing for the last month, and it's disgraceful. I couldn't switch on the radio for 5 minutes without hearing NATO has warned Russia not to invade Ukraine. No, guys, you are the ones who are about to invade Russia. Don't give us that. But I have, you know, you have to keep reminding yourself, the media is lying, the media is lying, the media is lying. And yeah, it can get a bit much at times, I suppose.
Yeah, I remember when Praying Medic made a video about 6 months or a year ago when he was just teaching people, like, the media is the enemy. There's a reason why Trump says enemy of the people. He's really helping to identify. And it's very hard for normal people to recognize someone like Anderson Cooper, who is someone that they feel like they know personally because he's been in their living room for decades, that he's a CIA operative, that he's an elite person, you know, who's the son of a probably they say millionaire, probably, you know, hidden billionaires of hidden funds.
And he's a Vanderbilt.
Right. He's a Vanderbilt. But that's kind of my point, is that these familiar faces. I remember I have a producer on American Media Periscope, and he's just a regular guy. And, you know, he's not like a core constituent of our show. And he said that Tom Hanks was his favorite actor. And I mean, Tom Hanks is like 80% of Americans' favorite actor. I mean, he's been in all of these great movies, you know. And it was hard for him to learn and understand that the Tom Hanks is a deep state asset, and he's implicated in the murder of people and things like that. So, you know, that's what people have a certain level of trust with these personalities, right? I mean, Fauci, apparently Brad Pitt plays him on SNL, and he's like the number one character that women have sexual fantasies about in America right now.
Very deliberate.
He's like this messianic figure for brainwashed people. So they're like, just like in a totalitarian regime, they idealize the leader when he is the one who's genocidal. And it's the same thing with Fauci. And the same thing with, these talking heads on TV. They're literally the people that are trying to institute the genocide, and they are the people, and Q has said this, it's the people who you trust the most. You know, it's your priest. It's your the people in your community that have the leadership positions. It's your CEO. It's those people who you trust who are actually out to get you. And so this, as an analogy, to me, this is like a person realizing that they've been scammed, you know, like, you know, you're just a regular person and someone knocks on your door and they want to sell you a multi-level marketing product or a vacuum cleaner or whatever. And then they just convince you it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And then you buy a $100 knife that's worth $5, and then they convince you to sell $100 knives for $5. And then you're walking around the neighborhood trying to convince other people to buy $100 knives that are worth $5. And then all of a sudden someone says, hey, you should Google this company that you're selling $100 knives. They're only worth $5. And you realize it. And then you just snap out of the hypnosis. You realize.
Turn off airplane mode.
Wow. Google just started talking to me. Yeah. So this is the same thing that's going on. People are going to snap out of this. And that's what I want to question you, Paul and Jim, about this. What do you think is going to take? Some kind of disclosure, some kind of event, some kind of person being arrested, like a messianic figure like Fauci? Is it, how are we going to get the 40% of people who follow the herd to follow the nonconformists instead of the conformist hardcore followers? You know, any thoughts on that? Maybe you'll start with Paul, then go to Jim.
I think it's an important to realize that mass formation, as Jim defined it for us, depends on four factors. If you go back to the guy, the scientist who originally came up with the idea, isolation, absolutely, lack of meaning in your life, some kind of major anxiety which hasn't been resolved.
And free then floating anxiety.
Yeah,
free it has floating to be an anxiety that there's no specific. Yeah, that's right.
There's no specific sort of thing. It's just anxiety about the future, which is, of course, what you know, the media and the elites love pushing, the fear that, you know, things are going to get faster and faster, and a great reset is upon us, and you know, you're going to be eating the bugs and living in a cocoon and living in a pod, and you will be happy because we've mind controlled you. No thanks. But those four things, you know, that sort of free-floating anxiety, discontentedness for whatever reason, social isolation, and the lack of meaning. So I think if maybe one or more of those factors goes away, like suddenly people find a meaning in life, or which is unlikely for all of us at once. But I think if the anxiety goes away, I think a big factor that could be that Omicron is the cure. It's going to cure the world. Great. So now we don't have to worry about a pandemic anymore. Then we need to wonder, well, why are the elites still locking us down with ever more draconian measures? That's not right. What's going on there? Yeah, I think that could be the thing that tips the majority of people over the world. Yeah, it could be a big arrest. I think that'll come as a shock more than, you know, more than a good thing to the 40%ers. But I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what Jim thinks.
And Jim, to give you context, we've got the deep state trying to pull these distractions right now. We've got some interesting things happening. You know, we've got all these trials of deep state assets happening right now. We've got Ghislaine Maxwell. Well, Jussie Smollett just wrapped up. Ghislaine Maxwell, Charles Lieber, the gain-of-function researcher from Harvard. You've got Kevin Spacey, extradition of Julian Assange, all these things happening. And then also you have, like, today on TikTok, there were people threatening mass shootings across the U.S. Like, all the schools in the U.S. are on high alert because supposedly there are all these mass shootings that could happen. You've got 100-mile-per-hour winds throughout half of the country right now, and supposedly weather can't be manipulated, right? So Jim, you know, what are your thoughts on how this can all go down? Oh, you're muted, Jim.
No.
How's that?
Okay. Yep, you're good.
So a good strategist is going to attack a problem from as many different angles as possible. But there are two main angles that I see here. One is using media and rhetoric and optics to work the population to try to slowly pull them to the center. If they're fully hypnotized, let's try to get them to the center. Simultaneously, and this is kind of like the frog in the pot, drip out events that for most people would be like, yeah, BS, I don't believe that. But as they're slowly being worked on the media side and getting pulled, these events and the things we're seeing, just like you just said, Maxwell and, you know, pedophilia in the CIA and things like that, they're being dripped out. And in just such a slow way as to not have everybody going, oh, you know, they're crazy because now they're really saying all this stuff. But dripping it out in a way that's relevant, that's believable, that is discussable among people,
and not overwhelming. right?
And not overwhelming.
Because you have two producers from CNN this week. Turns out they're child predators, pedophiles.
Right, and right, exactly.
This isn't going to cause organizational pedophilia. But this isn't going to cause CNN watchers to commit suicide. This is not overwhelming them yet. Right. This is a drip drop kind of thing. Right. And Kyle Rittenhouse was like that, too, because people thought he killed black people. They were so brainwashed from the way it was framed. And then he goes on Tucker Carlson, says, "I support Black Lives Matters." And it's like that just cognitive dissonance for millions of people. Right.
Right. And not by coincidence, you know. So you have this graph and you've got two lines and one line is descending. That's the ability of people to be hypnotized. And that numbers of people is reducing. At the same time, you have a rising line that is the number of events that are coming out into the public lexicon. So now people are becoming more and more aware of the very things that we need them to be aware of. When those two lines cross, in the financial field, they call it a death cross. But, I mean, in our situation, it's a revelatory cross. It's when people wake up. That's the wake up point when suddenly some event happened, and it can be minor. It can be a little thing, but you're sufficiently brought to the point of open thinking and awareness where that little thing becomes your trigger. And suddenly you have your moment. And now you're like, okay, now I'm paying attention. And what else is going on? And now you're starting to go looking for other things that start to corroborate what you're now starting to think and feel. And these are critical moments. And I know we all sit here and go, man, when is that coming? And I know there are a lot of patriots who left this whole kind of work because it just didn't happen on their timeline. But they'll be back. You know, they're just sitting
and there are people like Paul who, you know, were there when Q made his first post, you know, and was kind of observing for years. But I believe that when this awakening occurs, we are going to have a flood of millions of people tuning into this alternative citizen journalism. I'll give you a quick example. We have to wrap up soon, but what's his name from Paul? What's the name of the researcher we interviewed who talks about the cult as the bug?
Oh, Cliff High.
Cliff High. Oh, yeah. Cliff High recently made a video about how the deep state is basically a centrally controlled system and a bunch of centrally controlled systems. And one example is the media. So the media is, In one sense, centrally controlled. In another sense, it's several centrally controlled systems. But when we, the rest of the world who doesn't control these things, when we create an alternative system to replace the other system, that's really, truly revolutionary. Like, for example, cryptocurrency could override the central banking system. The alternative media, decentralized media can overthrow the traditional media. And there are examples of this for every single institution. And so that's what the deep state's so afraid of. And that's why they're so threatened by alternative media and Bitcoin and different things like that, because it can replace their systems. And so I just think that's a big piece of the puzzle too. This is such a historic time. This is not just about people waking up to the pandemic. Although that might be the central narrative that is the most important, it's people waking up to central banking, right? It's people waking up to the money manipulation. It's people waking up to the educational brainwashing. It's people waking up to every single institution. And there's a solution. There's an alternative. Like homeschooling is an alternative to the government brainwashing. You know, that's another example. So it's happening. Great Awakening is happening. We're pretty early on. You know, we're the first movers. But you know, in any kind of technology, you see this graph of the first adopters, and then you have the next wave of people. Before you know it, your grandma's on Facebook and she has an iPhone, and everyone has.
Yeah.
adopted the technology and it's ubiquitous. That's how the Great Awakening is going to happen. So where can people learn about your work? Get your free book, Paul.
Yeah, go grab my free book from paulferber.net/Q Inside. Please download it and read it with my blessing. That'll tell you all about the early days of Q and what I've been doing since then. So yeah, enjoy.
Yes, Paul offers private email services. And he has all kinds of interesting posts on his site, paulferber.net, and he accepts donations for his free journalism and for his free book. And Jim, do you have any place where people can get in contact with you or follow your work?
Yeah, I still you can find me at jim@etherealcity.com. And I have not been on the site making too many changes lately just because I'm so busy with the book. But, you can always go there and contact me if you want and for more information. And I'm happy to respond to all those emails.
Great. Thank you so much, Patriots. Make sure you go to SeanMorganReport.com, sign up for my updates, and you'll always find out when I'm interviewing Paul and Jim. God bless all you Patriots and good luck.